John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Ten minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning here on the John Gambling Show Friday get-together, Mayor Michael Bloomberg has joined the party here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Good to see you. I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
Nice weather, but it's going to have a little bit of dusting of snow tomorrow. We'll not have one of these plows going down the street again and spending questions about how much money it costs.
Pretty much dodged the bullet a week ago Friday when that thing came through.
We just arranged to not have more snow.
Oh, is that what it was?
It's fascinating. We talk to people. The thing that makes it difficult to plow is when people get stuck in the middle of the street. Not only can't you plow, you can't even get a tow truck to them because you can't plow enough to get to the car. And that's exactly what happened on the eastern end of Long Island. They had an enormous number of people who got stuck. People here listened. They came home early from work. The snow didn't build too much anyways until later in the evening Friday, so nobody got stuck. I think we only towed about 50 cars in the whole city, and you probably tow 50 cars every night anyways for other things. So the plows could get through, and then the sanitation department did what they always do. They have their routes. They know what they're doing. They're professionals. They get it done.
I'm not sure that you know this information. This is minutia, but I'm curious. Did somebody check the website on the nyc.gov plow? To see how many, to see if it was utilized?
I used it. I don't know how many people used it.
Well, it'd be
interesting
to see.
There were a lot of Twitters, and we're making it better. There's two versions. One that the sanitation department uses, which you go to their command rooms, and you can see every single truck and a number. You click on it, and it tells you.
It's live, and they got the trucks all moving around?
Yeah, and they can call the guy and say, go left, go right, and somebody, you know, you miss, that sort of thing. It's so much data, it wouldn't be useful to you. The way the one that for the public works is the roads, when they get plowed on the map, turn a color. One color says it's been plowed. No color says it hasn't been plowed. One color within the last hour. Then that color changes to within the last 3 hours and whatever. So you can see how recently a plow's gone down your street or whether a plow has gone down your street. And it's really easy to use.
Out on the eastern end of Long Island, one of the towns said that they didn't even have a plan in place to know what streets and what roads
right. And we sent out 30-odd plows and some men and women from the sanitation department for a day or so to plow. I'd been talking to the governor before the storm, during the storm, after the storm. See if we can help. And people always want to have this fight between the mayor and the governor. And I will say, you know, we've had great cooperation, every one of these things. There was not a lot that we didn't need the state to do anything here. Quite the contrary. This was one of those cases where we could help elsewhere. As we were in Sandy, elsewhere has helped us. We talked to all the county executives and Nassau and Suffolk and at the sanitation department level. And everybody was cooperative. And, you know, it was a pain for people out there, but I don't know if there was any fatalities, but no great disasters. And they plowed out, and something, you know, happens periodically. We had less in the city. The sanitation department did a great job. The fact that it came Friday night and sadly there's not a lot of traffic makes it a lot easier to plow. And things worked. This time, we don't think there'll be any plowing or sanding or anything this weekend.
Just a dusting most of the places around.
And it still continues to be warm. I mean, we've not had very many days when you're really freezing.
Careful.
We're halfway through the winter.
Halfway through, yep.
So it's the 15th of February, so halfway through the winter.
Yeah, we're on the downside, the other side of the slope.
Playing the back nine, you and I would describe.
Exactly.
Of course, so are we in terms of life, as somebody pointed out.
Happy birthday, by the way. Yesterday was your birthday.
It was nice. 71 is a lot better than not being 71.
That's true.
And, yeah.
The state of the city yesterday, obviously everybody, the headline news on that was the styrofoam banning, but really a lot of what you talked about had to do with environmental issues, whether it's the composting, whether it's the recycling.
Yep. We've been doing a lot of stuff there. Those are the kinds of things nobody wants to talk about, and there's somebody against everything. We got sued yesterday by the taxi owners.
Over the apps.
Over the apps. They sue on everything. Some days some judge should just say enough. There's nothing that we can do to make this city better in taxis without they go to court. That's their strategy on everything. And, you know, if it makes it better for the public, they don't care. They just, the only thing is it better for them? They always want raises. But they don't want anything else.
Just for people that don't know what you're talking about, these are apps that would assist you in hailing a cab. In fact, you would actually hail the cab by pushing the button on your phone.
It's another one of these disruptive technologies. It used to be you'd call a central dispatcher, and the central dispatcher would do it. Today, central dispatcher is probably unemployed. You just touch a button on your
intelligence. It goes right to a cab that's the closest to where you are.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you see in everything. I mean, you want to buy that, box of Cheerios. You can touch a button, I'm sure, and it'll tell you the price of Cheerios in 10 different stores.
Oh, absolutely.
Closest to you. And then you can touch a button and somebody will show up with it in a bowl with milk poured.
I'm sure that there's something available.
There probably is.
Or will be shortly.
Before I forget, there's one thing that doesn't come easily, and that's we need blood. The New York Blood Center is, because of the storm around here last week, they have less supply than they need, and if there's an emergency, if you have an operation, you need blood. Excuse me. And so call 311 or the New York City Blood Center website at nybloodcenter.org. They're just urging everybody to donate some blood so they can get caught up.
Yeah,
I would do it, but I did it about a month ago, I think.
And it doesn't hurt. And you get yourself a cookie or orange juice or something.
When they have Cheez-Its and apple juice.
That's why you go now.
Absolutely.
The Cheez-Its. Why don't I take a break here, Mr. Mayor, and then we'll get right back to you with some more questions. And, of course, getting back to the mayor, if you've got a question, 8 o'clock here on the John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We're talking about the state of the city. Speech from yesterday, one of the things you talk about is rezoning. What's going on with the rezoning of Midtown?
We have not had any new buildings built in Midtown in 20-plus years, and you can't let your central city hollow out. We'd like to rezone it. Amanda Burden and City Planning have some great plans where they address the issues of traffic and pedestrian access and that sort of thing. So if you build new buildings, you'd have to put some money into a fund to help. And you're not talking about it's a plan for the next 20 years, and in the next 20 years, 10 buildings or something. You're not talking about a lot, but you have to have some. There are people who say yes, but we need more time to think about it. You know, there's never a good time. You just got to do it. I've got to get some of these things. I tried to talk about some of these things yesterday. You know, we're working in Queens to get a soccer stadium going. There's Willets Point. We've got to keep going there. It's a never-ending saga. Homeport is finally getting going on Staten Island, which has taken an enormous amount of time. We've got the water tunnel is going to be done. Hopefully, I will see water go into it before I leave. The new subway line.
Oh, you think that might be finished up by the end of the year?
Yeah, yes. The 7 line, they'll run a train if I have to push it myself. No, the MTA, in all fairness, has done you can criticize the MTA, although I still defend them. I don't know about buses. I always defend them on subways because the subways that I take work. I took the subway to Barclays Center yesterday and back. It worked fine. But they were the ones, the city funded it, but the MTA built this extension to the number 7 line. And it's on budget, on time, going to be fine, we got to stop criticizing every agency for everything they do. Nobody is perfect. You can always find one. You know, you walk down the street, it's perfectly clean, but there's this tiny one little piece of paper, and everybody you can make a story. It's a calamity. It's, you know, come on. You got the people who clean the streets. If they don't get some credit, they ain't going to do it. The MTA, why would they keep working if everybody criticized them all the time? I think they do a pretty good job.
You also proposed adding, I can't remember the time frame, 10,000 electric vehicle charging spaces.
Yeah, I mean, this is a chicken and egg thing. Most people think that the wave of the future is battery-powered cars, electric cars. You have to get the energy into the battery. The technology is getting better so that you can get charged much quicker. You know, in theory, I guess you'd love to be able to charge as quickly as you can fill your gas tank. That would be, and have to fill it no more often than your gas tank. Then it would take away one excuse. But all of these automobile companies know that down the road, We're going to have to be more energy efficient. And a lot of the stuff we talk about, you know, that people fight, they're just trying to stall until they can get their company ready or their product or their customers switch over. You will see the beverage wars. These companies know that full sugar drinks are not good for anybody. And they have strategies to move people over, and people are moving over. And once they're all over there, then these companies won't fight it. Quite the contrary. They'll be on your side. I guess the cigarette companies are not that way because they're out of business if everybody, you know, they kill an awful lot of people in this
world.
Yeah,
the alternatives don't exist. Right. Right.
But for automobile companies, they can build electric cars as well as gasoline-powered cars.
Who would pay for the electricity?
Well, somebody's got to pay.
Oh, I understand.
I assume that
they would have
charge.
Someone just swipe your card, kind of thing.
Sure,
right.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, but if it takes,
it's like Wi-Fi. Somebody's got to pay. Everybody says we need free Wi-Fi. What do you mean free? It's the taxpayer, or the other people will pay, or you will pay. But somebody's going to pay for it.
10,000 electric vehicle charging spaces. I am sure that the fine for you parking there with a non-electric car would be so enormous and onerous.
Zillions of dollars. Zillions of dollars. But I won't be around to worry about it.
But it will take 10,000 parking places away from everybody else.
No, it's 10,000 because if they're used, it's 10,000 cars.
Correct.
That's not fair. You don't take anything away. You have the same number of. If you have the same number of cars and the same number of spaces, right now you can't use a parking place that's reserved for police cars. It doesn't take it away. The police car's got to park someplace an ambulance. Or, you take a space away, I suppose, when you have a fire hydrant. But then I think we still want to have the firefighters be able to get some water on the fire in our houses. So
absolutely. So let's see here from yesterday's speech.
Talked about crime.
Crime continues
to come down. I was looking the other day, Chicago had 42 murders in the first 4 weeks. I don't know what we had in the first 4 weeks, but in the first 6 weeks, we had 33. So we had 33 in 6 weeks. They had 42 in 4 weeks. Our population is three times their size. So, you know, we're doing well. And this year so far, after 6 weeks, we're 20% lower than last year. Now, that I don't think that holds up. But if we could do what we did last year, we should be pretty happy. It's a very, very low murder rate. You'd always want to get it lower, and I'd love to see it at zero. But there is, you know, just practical reality.
Speaking of crime, you made comment about small amounts of marijuana and sort of...
Yeah, the governor wants to pass a law, which we support. If you get a tiny amount of marijuana, you don't go to jail. And what we've been doing is if a cop stops you for some reason or other and you have a small amount, you get thrown in jail overnight. Now, if you have ID, because you have to have an ID, and there's no outstanding warrant, we'll do a quick check. Then we just give you what's called a desk ticket, I think, and you have to come back and go to court at some point in time where the judge is going to say, don't do it again, and probably just let you go without anything. The real world, I personally am not in favor of legalizing marijuana or any other drugs. I think it's a dangerous thing. But the reality is that for small amounts of marijuana, there's an awful lot of kids that have it, and you're just clogging the jails, you're clogging the courts, you're clogging the police schedules. They've got to do other things, and
let's live in the world. Most people do understand that, but behind the small amount in the pocket on the street is probably a stash somewhere or a distribution system.
That could be, but you're not going to get it by putting the kid in the slammer overnight.
But you're condoning the consumption of it.
Well,
I'm playing devil's advocate.
You can argue. I don't know condoning, but certainly not penalizing too much. That is true. I am opposed. I've thought long and hard about it. I'm opposed to legalizing marijuana because I think all that will happen is that, number one, it's much more potent than when you and I were the teenagers or whatever. And number two, the drug dealers are going to sell something because they've got to feed their families. And if they can't sell if there's no money in marijuana, they'll start selling harder stuff. And that's not good. And the reality is there are abuses and a lot of young people experiment. you know, I think when they get to their 30s in this day and age, most don't, but there are still some that do.
Sure, of course.
I mean, oh, this business where some buildings, they wanted to have separate electric meters for each apartment rather than one for the whole building. And some people go crazy. Why? Because they have big sun lamps and they're growing marijuana.
Absolutely. And it would
be obvious.
No, I happen to know somebody who legally in Colorado had a license to grow marijuana, but gave it up because the electricity, now that it's legal, the actual street price has gone so far down,
right.
Depressed.
Can't make any
money. You can't make any money out of it.
See, but the trouble is what a person like that might do is, this maybe not your friend, but they start selling crack and coke and that's even worse.
This kid actually went legit, which is good. 8:31 in the morning, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here. He'll answer your questions in a few minutes. Michael Bloomberg and us here on the John Gambling Show. I was pleasantly surprised. I don't think you were surprised at all, probably. Your idea about reducing salt in the 21 companies did it, and nobody even noticed.
The studies show that if you were to not salt your food for 2 or 3 weeks, you'd forget about it. And then if you did have salted food, it would taste too salty. But yeah, these things work slowly but surely. And if some companies do, the sodium battle is relatively easy. If you go into a supermarket, there's an awful lot of products that are advertised on the package, low sodium. And they only do that if the public
wants it.
So the public is driving this, you know, not us. You can't force the companies to do it, or I'd be opposed to that. But the public will get – the public wants to live longer. I mean, the bottom line is you come down to
everybody wants to go to heaven, but not today.
Yeah. If it's such a good place, why don't we do that? I don't know. In New York City, life expectancy is 3 years greater than it was 10 years ago, way ahead of the country's average. You know, it's – most people don't stop to think about it, but, you know, deep down inside, maybe you do a little bit. I would like to, at age 71, and you're what, in your late 40s, mid-40s?
I wish. Aren't you kind? Don't you lie. 63. I'm moving to 63.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. Anyway, a couple of things.
I hope you get to be 71.
So do I. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Let me ask you a couple of update things. Teachers evaluation talks.
We're talking. I can't tell you that I see a light at the end of the tunnel yet, but hope springs eternal.
How about the bus strike?
We have something like 65 odd bids, some of them dramatically lower. We think we'll save tens of millions of dollars. We will announce the winners, I don't know, this week, next week, I guess. And for the existing people, I feel very sorry for the drivers who have been, and matrons who've been working for the last few years. But, you know, we need the money in the classroom, and there are lots of other companies that can do it better. And I thought that, you know, we did try to help their union, representing them, get together with the bus companies that they work for and submit a bid. And they could have had this business too. They chose not to do that. But there's an awful lot of other people, and some of whom are union shops too. So just because it was a union shop doesn't mean they couldn't compete. And some of these unions, there's another union that represents bus drivers right now, and they're happy and they keep their jobs. I think what'll happen is a lot of the workers who have been working represented by this union, they will, at some point, they should go back to work sooner rather than later, because they're just missing. And the city, we're paying for an awful lot of taxis to send people, but the taxis are half the cost of the buses.
That makes no sense.
Well, it is, because the city has been, I guess I'm part of it too, since 1979, has just been giving them raises, and it's so far beyond what you needed to do. We are double the price of the next city and then triple the price of every other city. And so you can, these workers, I hope, will go back to work. They need the money. They need the health insurance. They should. And then probably a lot of them will get jobs for the winning bidders, because these other companies are going to have to go out and hire drivers. Now, and I don't know whether they'll pay more or less or whatever. but that's between them and their workers. And, you know, we tried to help the union get a deal. It didn't work out, and, you know, they've got to decide what's in their interest. But it didn't seem to me that I thought what they should do, should have done, is work with the bus companies. And I guess they tried, but nobody could ever put it all together. A lot of different companies, and so it was hard to deal with.
How would you describe the distribution of Sandy money? Has it begun yet, the Washington money?
The dump truck with the $1 bills hasn't come.
Physically has not dumped the dollars.
But a third of the monies have been allocated, 1.8, one or two to New Jersey, 1.8 to the city, 1.75 to the rest of New York State. You have to have, the way the federal government works, they just don't give you money. You have to have each thing you're going to spend it on approved.
Okay, that was my
question.
We
have, our plans are all drawn, all submitted for the city. I don't know about
the
state.
You have a contract, for example, the Battery Park Tunnel.
Right, whatever.
Whatever it might be.
It's a state thing, so they're going to have to submit plans, how much it's going to cost, what the benefits, why this is a good use of the public's money, and then Sean Donovan, who used to work here, has to approve it, and then they start sending out checks. And this is just the first third of the money. The next one comes. You could argue, well, why don't they just give it all the money right now? You can't spend it all right now. Right. I mean, it takes a while.
It'll get wasted in one way or another.
Right, you have to design things and hire sign contracts and do the planning, and there's all sorts of other approvals. But in the meantime, rapid repairs, we're down to 400 or 500 houses left to go. We've done 17,000 houses of getting them electricity, heat, and hot water back. So almost everybody is back. Still some. And there's still some people who've never signed up, and we keep trying to reach them. And at some point, we've said it's closed, but if they showed up today, we'd try to do something for them. But once the last contractor goes away, then it really is closed. Now, that's one program. There's a separate program. FEMA will give you up to $33,000. You know, it's another government thing. There's a bureaucracy. But that's because you screamed the last time somebody gave away money without checking. You wanted that bureaucracy. You wanted that check. You wanted the forms. Come on, look in the mirror, guys. Us, we're the ones that create these things. And you can get more money from FEMA to work on mold and to rebuild the room and that sort of thing. And in the meantime, we've got to figure out how to, if you're going to build a new home, you're going to have to build it higher. We've changed the rules because there's a height restriction in a lot of these places. Well, if you're going to build your house higher,
okay,
you have to raise.
Problem.
You're right. So we raised that. And we're waiving fees for businesses that are trying to get going, need new permits and that sort of stuff. There's programs with private money as well as from public monies to help businesses get back on their feet, because the businesses employ people, they need the jobs, and if you live in a neighborhood and there's no store to buy food, you can't live there.
Talked with a group late last week from Staten Island. I think it was Fox Beach, Staten Island, if my memory serves me right. They have collectively, I think there are 163 homes in this neighborhood. They've collectively decided to take the offer from the state and FEMA of actually selling out all of the homes and turning it back to Mother Nature.
Well, some people will do that. An awful lot of people, however, won't. They want to live on the beach. And people have been living on the beach since that's where they got their food. Then it became a recreational thing. And I think, you know, most people in Breezy Point are going to keep their houses in the Rockaways, Coney Island. South Shore of Staten Island probably got as hit as hard as anybody. You know, if your house was taken out in the Rockaways, you can say you got hit harder. But there are more houses in bigger swaths on Staten Island. And we've done an awful lot to get things going there. But this rapid repairs program really has this woman, Catherine Mallon, who's been running it. And it's really amazing. I don't think anybody's ever done this number of houses, fixed them up in this length of time. And the federal government, through FEMA, is paying for the whole thing.
Let me ask you, the president yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, it was part of the State of the Union speech, talked about pre-K and getting more and more kids and more programs up.
You know, the more education the kid gets, the better the kid is going to be able to cope with a technological global world. The question is, where's money going to come from? And there are some people who don't think kids should be in school. I mean, there are people who think that an eighth grade education's satisfactory in some parts of the country. There is, I saw a, we had a, at our foundation, we had a presentation on data, collecting data, how you collect data for public health things. And because if you want to help people, you got to know where the problems are and what kind of problems. And there was a map done county by county, I think, of life expectancy. And in the Northeast, life expectancy is in the high 70s, actually middle 80s for New York City, but high 70s in the Northeast. In the Southeast, low 60s. There's 20-odd years difference in life expectancy. And if you go and look, and if you plot the same places on education, the places with more and better education, you'll live a lot longer. With less poor education, you die much younger. And if you die at 60 rather than 80, that's a whole third of your life more you could have lived.
No, I completely understand. And if you have more education, you're more aware of the things that affect
you. Yeah, and you have the money to buy yourself better food, better living conditions, more medical care.
All of that. Yeah. Mr. Mayor, we have a full bank of telephones here. Why don't I take one more break here? And, let's see. No, there's no more space left. We'll get to the phones when we come back. Well, I'll grab a few phone calls right here. We're going to start with Jerry on Long Island. Hi, Jerry. You've got the mayor.
Yeah, hi. Thanks very much for taking my call. Hi, Mayor. It's a pleasure to speak to you. As you know, the President's State of the Union speech this past Tuesday, he urged Congress to vote on anti-gun violence legislation. But my question for you, Mayor, would be, are you worried that in the battle for new gun laws, the NRA is winning so far? Because, for example, it seems to me like the further we move away from the horrific day of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, the further we seem to be moving away from passing in Congress. Well, any firearms legislation that the NRA objects to strongly, such as both the ban on military-style assault weapons and also the ban on high capacity.
Jerry, what's the question?
Well, is the mayor worried that we are going to be unable to pass any firearms legislation that the NRA objects to?
Jerry, we are always worried. The polls today, 90% of the public says we should have background checks for all gun sales. Right now, there are gun checks for gun sales in stores, but not on the internet and not at gun shows. And 90% of the public wants that. And I think when you have 90% of the public wanting something, there's a good chance, not guaranteed, but a good chance that Congress will pass laws. The battle against assault weapons is a tougher battle. And there, 60% of the people want to ban them. But I think there's a decent chance. And if you are worried and if you want to have background checks, you call your congressman, your senator, and say, I want this. And when they say, well, I'm going to vote your way, but I can't help those other people vote, you say, well, look, I don't have a vote for other people. You go do this for me. If you don't do it, I'm going to take it out against you. The NRA is not omnipotent, whatever the words.
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent. And yes, right. And we backed five candidates against five NRA candidates in the last election and won four of them. The NRA person lost. There's a big race in Illinois to replace for the seat vacated by Jesse Jackson's son. And there are a number of people running, and a couple are A-rated by the NRA, and it'll be fascinating to see whether they win or not. I think they're going to lose, and that's going to, Jerry will be pleased because you're much more likely to have some kind of gun legislation.
All right, Jerry, thanks a lot. Let's move along here to Chris, Staten Island. You've got the mayor, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, Chris.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mayor and John. I'm very upset with you. You're on a track to ban everything, and I'd like to know, why do you feel like, and no other mayor is doing what you're doing. Giuliani would never ban everything what you're doing.
We're not banning, come on, Chris, we're not banning everything. You can still buy cigarettes. We haven't banned that. You can still buy 32 or 64 ounces of a full-sugared beverage. You just have to take that one in the case of 16-ounce cups, and if it's in a store, if it's in a restaurant or a theater, and in smoking, you can't smoke where other people have to breathe the smoke, but you can still do that. And in case of styrofoam, which is really, styrofoam's a brand name, it's really polystyrene that you're banning. An awful lot of places in the West Coast have already banned it. Here in New York City, it cost us an extra $20 a ton to take it out of these recycling things, and you put them in landfills. You come from Staten Island. Look at what we've done in Staten Island. We created in Fresh Kills. It's going to be 20 years before enough things biodegrade so that we can turn that into a park. We never should have used Staten Island as a big dump. Over by the Fresh Kill side, we stopped it. Giuliani, as a matter of fact, stopped it, and we're not going back to do it. But we've got to be smarter the next time and not create these things. Styrofoam or polystyrene does not degrade with time. It's just there forever, and it's not good for you, and it costs us a lot of money. And the stores, most stores have already gone away from it. This is not asking anybody to do anything that's really going to hurt anybody, but it's good for everybody. And so we're not banning everything. We're just trying to have some intelligent things. It cost us money. Chris, your tax bill is higher than it needs to be because we've got to go and take polystyrene out of the waste. So, you know, it's in your interest, too.
There you go, Chris. All right, let's go to Ed in Brooklyn. Ed, you've got the ear of Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Hi, Ed.
Mr. Mayor, how you doing?
Good.
I think you're doing a wonderful job. Quick question. With this, your stand on marijuana, I just feel like we're kind of making a statement that we're a little bit losing this war. And I just feel it's the wrong message.
I hope you're, John and I have had this conversation both online, on the air and off the air. I hope you're wrong. And there is some evidence that we're winning the war. The murder rate is down and murders are tied to drug sales a lot. So maybe there's some of the statistics say kids are using less. Marijuana, unfortunately, is just a fact of life in this day and age in a small quantity. And there's just so many kids our cops don't have the time to go out and go after the real bad guys if they're going to worry about throwing a kid in the slammer overnight for a tiny bit. The governor's going to pass this law, or I'm going to support it. I am opposed, as I said before, to legalizing marijuana, and we're not legalizing it here. We're just being realistic about let the judge deal with it the next day, but you don't have to keep the kid in jail overnight. So they still got to go before a judge, and then the courts can decide what to do with them, legal, illegal, jail sentence, not jail sentence, whatever the issue is, but make it so that we don't have to spend the money to hold a kid overnight and have all those resources tied up. But it is a very serious war. We should certainly fight it, and I worry just like you. You're 100% right.
All right, Mr. Mayor, there we go. Enjoy the weekend ahead, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Dust and the snow, nothing else. See you next Friday.
Okay, enjoy. And again, happy birthday and congratulations.